It gives me great honor to introduce Garrett Lear. He's the Patriot pastor. And he's with it. For you folks that haven't heard of it, the Well of Living Water Ministries. And again, Patriot pastor Garrett Lear. Can we give him a hand?
Sayings during the war for American independence, otherwise known by some people as the American Revolution or the Revolutionary War, and it comes directly from Scripture out of the fifth chapter of the book of Acts in verse 29, and it says, "We ought to obey God rather than men. True liberty and true freedom is a gift of God, but it's not free." Now, why on this beautiful Saturday afternoon am I standing here dressed in kind of heavy, dark clothing, as I am? But I'm here as a reminder of what the Founding Fathers believed in. I myself have 388 years of ancestry in this very area. One of my ancestors signed the Mayflower Compact, which I believe is really the birth certificate of America. And I believe that the worst traitors that this country has ever had are the people that are known as revisionist historians. They don't tell you the truth about what really happened in our country and what the Founding Fathers really believed in. And so I believe, in a sense, as their ancestor, as their posterity, and by the way, all of you that are enjoying the freedoms of America, you are the posterity of those people, even though you may not necessarily have the blood ancestry. Now, as I said, why am I here dressed like this? I could be out at the beach today. It's a great beach day. I could be out hiking somewhere, or out fishing, or golfing. But my ancestor that signed the Mayflower Compact died in the first winter in the Plymouth Colony, froze to death in his bed. And yet, all of those in the Plymouth Colony, none got back on the ship to go back to England. They stayed here to create a new country, aside from the type of countries that they had come from, with true freedom and liberty. And so I'd like to read something to you as a poem that really makes me believe that I have to give up part of my life. And I appreciate that all of you have come out here today. You can be doing other things as well, and I honor you in that. But why should I do any less with my life than what my forefathers did with theirs? They bled, they sweat, they prayed, they paid, they died, they worked hard so that we can enjoy the liberties and the freedoms that we have today. I can't shake that off. I can't forget that. I had a dream the other night I didn't understand. A figure walking through the mist with a flintlock in his hand. His clothes were torn and dirty as he stood there by my bed. He took off his three-cornered hat and, speaking low, he said, "We fought a revolution to secure our liberty. We wrote the Constitution as the shield from tyranny. For future generations, this legacy we gave in this land of the free and home of the brave. The freedom we secured for you, we hope you'd always keep. But tyrants labored endlessly while your parents were asleep. Your freedom's gone, your courage lost. You're no more than a slave in this land of the free and home of the brave. You buy permits to travel and permits to own a gun, permits to start a business or to build a place for one. On land that you believe you own, you pay a yearly rent, although you have no voice in choosing how the money is spent. Your children must attend a school that doesn't educate. Your Christian values can't be taught according to the state. You read about the current news in the regulated press. You pay a tax you do not owe to please the IRS. Your money is no longer made of silver or gold. Your trade, your wealth for paper, so your life can be controlled. You paid for crimes that make our nation turn from God and shame. You've taken a number and traded in your name. You've given government control to those who do you harm so they can padlock your churches and steal the family farm and keep our country deep in debt, put men of God in jail, harass your fellow countrymen while corrupted courts prevail. Your public servants don't uphold the solemn oath they've sworn. Your daughters visit doctors so their children won't be born. Your leaders ship their artillery and guns to foreign shores and send your sons to slaughter, fighting other people's wars. Can you regain the freedom which I fought and died, or don't you have the courage or the faith to stand with pride? Are there no more values for which you'll fight to save, or do you wish your children to live in fear and be a slave? Sons of the Republic, arise and take a stand. Defend the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. Preserve our great republic and each God-given right, and pray to God to keep the torch of freedom burning bright. As I awoke, he vanished in the mist from which he came. His words were true. We are not free. We have ourselves to blame. For even now, as tyrants trample each God-given right, we only watch and tremble, too afraid to stand and fight. Now, if he stood beside your bedside in a dream while you were asleep and wondered what remained of rights he fought to keep, and what would be your answer if he called out from the grave, "Is this still the land of the free and the home of the brave?" I'm not going to take the time here today to read certain of the founding compacts like the Mayflower Compact. And actually, as you may know, the people who landed there at Plymouth thought they were going to Virginia. Even Richard Hecklett in 1607 what he said at the Jamestown colony, is that they believed that they were starting a nation, a true nation under God, with freedom and liberty for all. And one of the most prominent of the early founding visions, and it's been quoted by politicians ever since, was by Governor John Winthrop of the Massachusetts Bay Colony. "For we must consider that we shall be a city upon a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us, so that if we shall deal falsely with our God in this work we have undertaken, and so cause him to withdraw his present help from us, we shall be made a story and a byword through the world. Beloved, there is now set before us life and good, death and evil, in that we are commanded this day to love the Lord our God, and to love one another, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his ordinances, and his laws, and the articles of our covenant with him, that we may live and be multiplied, and that the Lord our God may bless. Therefore, let us choose life, that we and our seed may live by obeying his voice and cleaving to him, for he is our life and our prosperity." So many of the early documents, the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut, the Articles of Confederation of the United Colonies of New England, so many of these things referred to that original covenant. And our founding fathers were not illiterate. They were Bible-believing Christians. And I'm going to skip forward here to one of my favorites in history, Samuel Adams. And unfortunately, in the HBO John Adams series, which had a variety of things that were of interest, they gave very little import to the life of Samuel Adams, who in a sense was really one of the fathers of the American Revolution. He said, "If you love wealth greater than liberty," and think about this in terms of 2008, on this beautiful August day, "if you love wealth greater than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animated contest for freedom, go home and leave us in peace. We seek not your counsel nor your arms. Crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you, and may posterity forget that you were our countrymen." These may seem like hard words, aren't they? But they're not hard words, they're challenging words, and today I'm concerned someone has stolen my country, and I want her back. And I say that. I say that as an American, and I say that as the posterity, an ancestor of these people that have written these very things. Now, how many of you today have ever read the Declaration of American Independence? In the history of the world, it happens to be one of the greatest documents ever written. And can you imagine, fits on one piece of paper like this? These days, people get together in legislatures, and they can't seem to write something that most of us can understand. And by the way, all legislation was supposed to be understood by the people, because laws were supposed to be understood. You can't keep a law you don't understand. It wasn't supposed to be interpreted by other people. Any law that was not interpreted and read and understood by the average person was void for vagary.
Oh, really?
We got an awful lot of void for vagary going on, don't we? Well, I wonder how many of you today would take up the turkey feather. That's what this is. By the way, I know around here you've probably seen a lot of turkeys, and I'm not talking about anyone sitting out there today. I'm talking about the two-legged kind. Oh, that's right. We are two-legged, aren't we? The ones with feathers that are in the fields. This was considered to be, at one time, going to be the national bird instead of an eagle. And if you've ever tried hunting wild turkeys, you know why. They're a pretty formidable bird, fly 55 miles an hour, right? Well, I'd ask you, how many of you would take up this pen, the turkey quill, and sign today the Declaration of American Independence? But before you say that you would, I want you to consider that the signers here were committed Christians who were Bible-believing Christians, and they believed that their rights were not privileges. Did you hear what I said? That their rights were not privileges. given to them by any group of men or by any governmental body, by any king, except by King Jesus. And why do I say that they believe that? Well, they said right in this phrase in the Declaration, we hold these truths to be self-evident. That means we should all understand this and understand it well. That all men are created equal. That they are endowed by their Creator. Uh-oh. I got to expunge that from the record. The way some people are thinking today, I can't say that. And by the way, it's got a capital C. And the people that signed this knew where it came from. And they knew what creator they were talking about. I was recently on a two-hour radio broadcast with call-ins. And people called in and questioned. I mean, I read from the Declaration and said, I don't agree with you. You don't agree with me? I didn't write it. I'm just reading it. And one person said, you and I have different creators. I said, really? How is that possible? Do you come from a foreign planet or some alien planet or something? Because even if you do, according to what the founding fathers believed, they believed that God created the heavens and the earth. So even if you come from another planet, if that's possible, we still have the same creator. And he has endowed us with certain unalienable rights. Say that with me. Unalienable rights. What does it mean, unalienable? You can't take a mortgage on it. You can't lien it. You can't give it away. It needs to be kept. But we have given away these unalienable rights, and people have convinced us to turn them into privileges given to us by men. And among these, not exclusively these, but among these, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Okay? Any other reason for government, according to Romans chapter 13, is incorrect. And let me tell you something. I've stood in the legislature in this state for the last 20 years and heard the most ridiculous things going on that had nothing to do with what this declaration declares, nothing to do with what governments are formed to do. And by the way, please, whoever comes up here and stands up here, stop using the word democracy and use the word republic. Because the word democracy does not exist in the United States Constitution, nor does it exist even in the New Hampshire Constitution. And by the way, if you don't believe me, go stand on the Main Street entrance in Concord, New Hampshire, at our Capitol, and look up above the door before you go into the building, and it says the Republic of New Hampshire. You see, I'm not a revisionist historian. I tell you what really is there. There's a couple of other things. I appreciate your attention so much. I want to draw your attention to the last part of this declaration because I believe, and this is not just a prophetic statement that I'm making to you today, it is a statement that we will probably have to face. And this is what they said, all those that signed. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, with a capital P, if we're going to continue to be free, if we're going to have any freedom at all, we're going to have to look to Almighty God. And by the way, I'm not interested in having a state church. That's an ecclesiocracy, and our founding fathers were dead set against it, and so am I, for good reason. But that doesn't mean that we want to distance ourselves and our society from the truth of God's Word or from looking to God as our protection and as our provider and for us that are being blessed and those that are receiving blessing to receive from Him. You see, the issue today is people want to wipe out any vestige of mention of God. This is not part of America. This isn't part of our history. This isn't what the Founding Fathers intended. And so many people could not sign the Declaration today. They would not be able to sign it because it says the Creator gave us these rights. And then they signed it and said, for the support of this Declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other what? Our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And I hope and I pray today on this beautiful August day in Jaffrey, New Hampshire, that we have enough people in this state, in this country, who are willing to make that kind of a pledge, to pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. You know that the Minuteman, and I had a descendant, Jedediah Learned, who was on the Lexington alarm list, the Battle of Lexington, April 19, 1775. We trust in God that should the state of our affairs require it, we shall be ready to sacrifice our estates and everything dear in life, and yea, and life itself, in support of the common cause. And by the way, when they were saying sacrifice their estates, they did not mean that they were wealthy people. Jedediah Learned, my ancestor, one of the ancestors I draw upon during the War for American Independence, was a farmer. Wasn't talking about a wealthy situation. That word then meant to them just everything that they had. And how many of us today are willing to pledge everything we have to make sure that our children and our grandchildren, that's our posterity, will have it equally as a free a life as we've had, and perhaps even better? George Washington exhorted the troops on May the 2nd, 1778. Bad time of year, by the way, not because of the weather, but because of what they've been through. To the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to laud the more distinguished character of Christian. You know, there are a number of people of great distinguished history from New Hampshire, and I'm going to mention some of those in a moment, but I want to read you a few titles from some of the preachers, and I represent them today in what's called the Black Regiment. Not people of black skin color, but those that would carry a black Bible, or perhaps wearing black clothing like I am today. Listen to these sermon titles. 1747, civil magistrates must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And by the way, every time I try to tell some of our civil magistrates this, they say, that can't be, and by the way, your religionists are not supposed to get in our face, and so forth and so on. The Mediatorial Kingdom and the Glories of Jesus Christ, 1756. An Oration upon the Beauties of Liberty, 1773. An Appeal to the Public for Religious Liberty. Scriptural Instructions to Civil Rulers, 1774. America's Appeal to the Impartial World, 1775. The Dominion of Providence over the Passions of Men, 1776. The Bible and the Sword, 1776. God Arising and Pleading His People's Cause, 1777. Divine Judgment upon Tyrants, 1778. I'm not making this up. This is in history. And by the way, for those that have a misunderstanding about the separation of church and state, and it is a misunderstanding that most people have today, Benjamin Franklin, I have it in my library. I bid at auction for a book called The Annals of Congress, the Ratification of the Bill of Rights, 1791. He stood up and said, wait a minute, we must protect America from a national Christian church. He didn't say we need to protect America from church, or protect America from God. He said, just protect America from a national Christian church. And I'm glad for that. I don't want anyone telling me what brand of Christian that I'm going to be. If you were to go to Lexington, and I hope every patriot makes a trip there someday, you will see the inscription there on the Patriots Monument, sacred to the liberty and the rights of mankind. Or listen to the anthem of William Billings, 1778, called Independence, talking about no other king but King Jesus. The liberties of our country, the freedoms of our civil constitution are worth defending at all hazards. It's our duty to defend them against all attacks. We have received them as a fair inheritance from our worthy ancestors. They preached them and purchased them for us with toil and danger and expense of treasure and blood. It will mark and bring a mark of everlasting infamy on the present generation. Enlightened as it is, if we should suffer them to be wrested from us by violence without a struggle, or to be cheated out of them by the artifices of designing men. How did Samuel Adams know in 1775 that this was going to happen in 2008? Because people are the same today as they've always been. Well, time is short for me today, so I'm not going to go through all the other things, but I do want to mention this to you. If I was standing here with certain people, for example, great New Hampshire patriots like John Stark, John Langdon, Josiah Bartlett, signer of the Declaration, Matthew Thornton, signer of the Declaration, Daniel Webster, I pledge to you in my oath and honor they would be agreeing with what I am saying. I know that because I've read what they've said. You see, though they be dead, yet do they speak as we read the things that they wrote and that they said. And for those of you that think that this is not the way New Hampshire is, I suggest that you go to the New Hampshire Constitution. I don't go anywhere without carrying a New Hampshire Constitution of the United States, and my Bible. I bring it up to the legislature. They tell me not to read it. I read it there anyway. Read Articles 5 and 6, talking about freedom of religion, morality and piety. And by the way, the one that I always introduce to every candidate that comes from, you know, they all come to New Hampshire, right? First in the nation primary, and I hand them our New Hampshire Constitution and I circle Article 10, which is conveniently and affectionately known as what? Come on, somebody out there must know it. The right to revolution. Before you get all heady about that, read what it says, because it is the definitive measure and description of what the founders believed civil government should be. By the rude bridge that arched the flood, their flag to April's breeze unfurled. Here once the embattled farmers stood and fired the shot heard round the world. The foe long since in silence slept, alike the conqueror silent sleeps, and time the ruined bridge has swept down the dark stream which seaward creeps. On this green dark and green bank, by this soft stream, we set today a votive stone, that memory may their deed redeem when, like our sires, our sons are gone. Spirit that made those heroes dare to die and leave their children free, did time and nature gently spare the shaft we raised to them and thee. And so I simply say to you, in closing on this day, some people may say that I'm a fool, and that is true, but I'm a fool for Christ, and I ask you, whose fool are you? God has blessed America. I pray God will continue to bless America. God has blessed New Hampshire, and I pray that God will save America and save New Hampshire. Thank you for coming out today.